Good morning to you all from me as well on this momentous day. Momentous in footballing terms because England have reached the final of the Euros. Quite an achievement, something many of us have waited a lifetime to see. But momentous too in Eastleigh's spiritual realms because we begin today a new series here at Eastleigh Baptist Church entitled Dangerous Prayers, as has been mentioned by Ricky this morning. So I want to start this morning with a question. What do you think the score will be? Only kidding. That's not the question. Reboot, start again. Now the question is, what was your heart's response when you heard that title, Dangerous Prayers? What was your heart's response? My hunch is that for about 5 or 10% of us, our response was excitement. You're the adventurous ones. You're the I want to squeeze the pips out of life types. Danger for you equals exhilaration. Bring it on. And my hunch is that for the rest of us, our auto reaction was perhaps pretty much the opposite of exhilaration. It was, in fact, a bit of disquiet or uncertainty. The term dangerous perhaps triggering a desire to step back or to duck down, take cover rather than to step up. Or perhaps our auto response was to express agreement with our heads. Good idea, brother. Amen. Whilst failing to actually move our legs. Not so much send me, Lord, as send him or her, please, Lord. I have to confess a personal frisson of fear at the idea of dangerous prayers. Despite my own outgoing nature and my sincere love for the Lord, the lure of comfort, the longing for normality is strong in me. The desire to fit in and not upset other people is formidable. Anyone relate to that? Do we really have to stick our necks out? Can't we just get away with being nice? Jesus does call us to do good works, to be nice if you like, to clothe, to comfort, to visit and have cups of tea with. But he also calls us to be radical, to take up our cross and to follow him, to make disciples of all nations, things that will ask more of us than just being nice, things that call for courage and faith and effort. And so we begin this series of dangerous prayers with the prayer, make me bold. The timing of this is not insignificant as we exit lockdown. I don't think it's fair to say that we've been in hibernation for these last 16 or 17 months. We have sought to go deeper in our trust in God and to reach out to each other and our community despite the serious limitations that have been placed on us. But nevertheless, there is a joy at the end of any period of enforced restraint when we can flex our muscles and stretch out our limbs and stretch our faith too. And this feels very much like one of those moments. So thank you, Chris, for hitting on this series. Let's cast our minds back to that passage that Linda read for us this morning and recap on the context. The early disciples have been on the most amazing but also shocking and terrifying roller coaster ride. They have witnessed their hero and champion Jesus executed, destroying at a stroke their hopes and dreams. Then they've seen him resurrected and then whisked away again at his ascension. They're alone again, but have been told to wait for some promised help. And wonderfully, at Pentecost, they are endowed with the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, the power to speak in other languages, to perform miraculous signs, and to begin the New Testament church, as they do with 3,000 people being added to their number that very day. And they begin to preach daily at the temple and add more and more people to their flourishing community. Whoa! But there is opposition. Unsurprisingly, the religious authorities are not excited about this new movement because not only is it operating completely outside of their influence and control, but it also wants to pin the blame for Jesus' death on them. So rather than gratitude and acclaim, the apostles face imprisonment and threats and will go on to experience beatings and even executions amongst their own number for their boldness. The opposition is there. So what is their prayer? Is the prayer for safety? Is the prayer to take the opposition away? Is it a prayer of complaint? Lord, why do you let this opposition happen? We're trying to share our faith like you told us to. Why can't you make it easier for us to do that? There's too much opposition, too many obstacles. It's not fair. No, that wasn't their prayer. Let's read it, what it was again in Acts 4:29. I'll just give you that one verse. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. That's pretty radical, isn't it? In the face of that opposition, that's pretty bold. Jesus was opposed. Virtually every step he took was dogged by opposition. He was constantly hassled and harangued by the religious rulers as he taught. But it seems because of that fact, the disciples were not dismayed at the continuation of opposition when it came to their turn. I expect that they recalled the words of Jesus as recorded in John chapter 15, verse 20. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. So rather than complain about the opposition, rather than rail against the obstacles, they pray instead for the boldness to speak louder and stronger. And that is a dangerous prayer indeed. So what about us here and now? What about you and me right now? Well, guess what? We still have the opposition to the gospel today. In some parts of the world, Christians are exposed to terrible repression and threat, the sort that was experienced by the early church at the hands of some of the Roman emperors and that our first century brothers and sisters experienced. Check out the amazing work of Open Doors to be aware of what's going on in our world today and to pray into it. But in reality, the sort of opposition that we experience as Christians in our nation is very, very different to that, isn't it? We're far more likely to simply be considered irrelevant or outdated, frankly, a bit sad, even pathetic. We're viewed as hanging on to archaic and binary views on the sanctity of life and marriage and morals that are seen to be intolerant of people's right to be able to act and behave and do whatever they want. The idea that we should call people to restrain themselves in any way is received as judgment and deemed offensive by some. Perhaps it feels sometimes like this culture of anything goes is a strong, even unstoppable tide that we're on the verge of being swept away by. Do you ever think that? They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. Let me repeat that. They are surprised that you do not join in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But hold on a second. That wasn't written today. That was written by the Apostle Peter nearly 2,000 years ago. And you can find it in 1 Peter 4, verse 4. Those words perfectly described the state of things then, and they perfectly describe the state of things today too, don't they? So take heart. Take heart, brothers and sisters. This wrestle for the heart and soul of mankind is not new. We've been here before. In fact, we're always here. So for us today, the opposition is also there. What is our prayer? Is our prayer the prayer of safety? Is the prayer to take the opposition away? Is it a prayer of complaint? Or could it be that prayer, Acts 4:29, now, Lord, consider their threats and anything we have to face and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Could that be our prayer today? Sincerely? Before you answer that question, before you leap, hopefully, to respond, let me say a few things about boldness. Firstly, we're talking about being bold in sharing our faith in Jesus, not about climbing Everest or wrestling with bears. Having courage is an admirable quality, and a desire to grow in your courage in general is a noble goal. But right now, we're talking about faith sharing. When it comes to faith sharing, maybe you feel that that is for Jeremy or for Chris B or for the ministers, for specialists like Betty, as aforementioned, for those who are so gifted, evangelists. It's for the 5 or 10% who get a kick out of doing something daring, but not for you, as Ricky kind of spoke about. Or rather, there may be a little figure on your shoulder that is suggesting that to you. But let me remind you of a couple of verses of Scripture. In 1 Peter 3, it says, "Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Always be prepared, all of you, to share your faith and give that message credibility by your good deeds." Romans 10, verse 13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one who they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" Good questions, Paul. For reasons best known to himself, the Almighty has entrusted the sharing of this message to earthlings. He could have chosen to write it on the clouds or proclaimed it through angels, but instead has told us Christians, to go and preach it. Not just those select few, because frankly, if it's just left to them, the job will never get done. But if we're all on board, then all of a sudden, it's a different kettle of fish. Should things get a bit more hairy for us as we preach and proclaim, Matthew 10, verse 17 reminds us to be on our guard. You'll be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you will say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it'll not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brothers and sisters, we are all called to share our faith, to preach this message, to always be prepared on the one hand, but not to worry about what to say on the other. Second thing I want to say about responding to the call of boldness is this. Your motive is everything. If you comply today because I have asked you to, then thank you. Thank you for being responsive and obedient. But the truth is, it's unlikely to be long-lasting if that's just the case. But if you respond to the call to pray for boldness because you can remind yourself of the beautiful, guiltless freedom that you now possess for having your sins forgiven, all that mess, all those negative and damaging thoughts and words and deeds of yours wiped away. And what if you respond out of an appreciation for the lengths and agonies that God went through in order to purchase that freedom for you? Coming to earth as a humble servant and going to the cross to die, to stand in your place, to take your punishment. And what if you can respond because you've grasped just how life and eternity changing this news will be for those people around you, people in obvious need of the love of God in their lives? What if you could take your eyes off yourself and your fears and fix your gaze on the one who says he will never leave you and who says he will give you the words? Well, then we would be cooking, wouldn't we? Then we'd be talking and sharing, and I reckon we wouldn't be able to shut you up. Think about what God has done for you. Think about that as your motive and share that. The third thing that I want to say about this call to boldness is that though it is important to accept that it is a call for everyone, not just for specialists. I do know that we're not all starting from the same place. What is bold, what is a stretch for you in this area might be very simple or a bit of a doddle for me. What might be bold for you might be way out of reach for the next person. The point is, this is not a competition. Don't be concerned about comparing yourself to others. That will only result either in ego inflation if you consider yourself better, or discouragement if you consider yourself worse. What is bold for you? That might be just throwing into conversation the fact that you went to church on Sunday. That might be it. It might be talking about how well the church cricket team are getting on at the moment. It might be sharing how your faith or the support of the church family has overcome a problem in your life or given you a sense of purpose and belonging. It might be inviting someone to an alpha course or a chat, our chatty craft or a recovery stop. Or it might be doing some street evangelism or some street preaching. The important thing is you praying to God for boldness in your life, from your starting point, from where you are at. Lastly, let me qualify that being bold does not mean being belligerent. Being bold does not mean being boisterous or obnoxious. I spend almost as much time cringing at the antics or venom that comes from some Christian quarters as I do from that of our messed up and wayward world. You may feel the same. Be bold because you care, because you love, because you want to help, not because you want to judge or dominate or condemn. When I knew I was going to be preaching on this topic, I thought it only appropriate to pray that prayer for myself, make me bold. And I have prayed it every day this week. And here, briefly, is the difference that I have observed in what it has done for me. I've had conversations with people, neighbours, people whose faces I recognise, where normally I would have just said hello and walked on or walked past. In several conversations with people in this last week, people who have got stuff going on in their lives, rather than just sympathise, I've spoken what I believe to be some difficult but painful truths into their situations. In other conversations where I might have limited myself to just sharing some common sense or good sound psychology, I've gone on to point them to Jesus as being the ultimate answer and to actually share my faith. All this in just 1 week of praying that simple prayer each day. Now, I don't know what God is going to do with any of that, whether immediate fruit is going to spring up or whether those seeds will have fallen on stony ground or some other ground. One person did ask for a Bible, so he's now in the possession of two of them. Amen. But the fruit of our labours, of our sharing, that is God's business, isn't it? But imagine, church, if we were all doing that. Imagine if each of us was doing that next week and beyond. So, church, the prayer that our first century brothers and sisters prayed and that I prayed last week was, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness, or to paraphrase, make me bold. Will you pray that prayer? Will you pray that prayer every day in this next week and see what God does through it? I'm an airhead. I had to mark my diary to remind myself each day to do that. Maybe you need to do the same. Set it on your phone. Remind each other about it and see what God is going to do. Please close your eyes and pray it now. Lord Jesus, make me bold. This day, this week, evermore to share your love and your forgiveness. Amen. One of the boldest ways we can declare our faith is through baptism. On the 1st of August, we're going to be celebrating the baptism of Ian and Jill, but there is still room for more. If you feel that the time is now to make public your love for the Lord and be baptized, please come and let us know.